Let's go to one of my favorite scriptures, if not my favorite. The 10th chapter of Mark, please. We'll start reading about the 46th verse. This is, to me, one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible right here because of the positivity of what it says of Christ Himself. Christ trying to get a message to us. He wants to help us this morning. He's interested in you. He's interested in me. He wants you to have the victory. He wants you to have the blessing. He wants you to have the glory. And He's done everything possible to do that. But we've got to make our part known too. We must do our part. 10 and 46, the good book of Mark. Again, we desire your prayers. And He came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said to him, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. See if I can break another chalk. I'm doing good at it. This message will cover every person in this building. This morning you and I have needs. Every one of us have needs. We have literal needs, we have physical needs, we have spiritual needs. And so consequently, a lot of times in the literal line or the natural line, whatever you call literal, I guess best way to put it, there have been times that say you need a new toaster. Well, toasters are not very high. Used to, they'd have to save back to buy a toaster. Now then, I could go buy me a toaster. I wouldn't have to save back for it. Just go to Walmart or Kmart or whatever and buy me a toaster. You have those literal needs. Sometimes you have to save for a while to get a literal need. Say, a new car. I couldn't be a little harder just to go out and lay money down and buy me a new car. Well, I couldn't buy a new car probably without financing, but... See, I mean, you've got these literal needs that you have. We've all got them. There may be things this morning that you're wanting, so to speak. There's people here maybe have some physical needs, some need of healing and so forth. And maybe times that you've carried things for years and you're still having problems with it periodically or every day maybe or whatever. And you need a physical healing. And then there's a spiritual side. And all of us this morning, I'd say here, if you'll be honest and straightforward, we have some spiritual needs. And that's what these meetings are for. They're for all the needs that you have, whether it's physical, whether it's even literal, whether it's spiritual, whatever might be the need, the Lord has set these meetings in place to answer, to work with, to deal with those needs for you and I to be able to get the help that we need. We need help. We can't do things by ourselves. Of course, the spiritual needs are the most serious. And yet people act like these are not very serious at all. But these are so serious that if we don't get help, they might cause us to be lost. So they're very, very serious. They vary, needs do, from simple to serious. There's some that a very little bit of help would take care of it. But yet you're not able to do it by yourself. So you struggle with it and so forth. And the Lord then has to come along. I prayed one time on a problem I had. Now, I may line it out later in the message. But I told the Lord, I said, "You've got the key to this thing. you can help me with this. I've tried and I can't get the victory, and you're going to have to do it. You've got the key. You can make it very simple for me to get the victory on this. Listen, folks, today, he's got the key, he's got the foundation, he's got the grace, he's got the help. No matter what you need, he's able to help you with it. He can make it so simple. There's times that we struggle with it over and over, and we battle. Maybe we lose sleep. We pray. Maybe we fast and pray, and we say, I need this help, and I can't seem to get it. Listen, folks, he said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus has got the power. He's got the wisdom. He's got the answer, and he is able to do. No individual, no president, no king, no queen, no rich person, no senator or congressman is able to say what Jesus said that morning. That saith that I am able to do anything you need me to do. What will thou? That is reason this scripture is so valuable to me, that he said, what will thou? You're blind. If you was blind, today they can do eye transplants. They can do cataract removal. They can do a lot of things to help blind people. They couldn't do that back then. This man needed help. He was in real need of some real help. It would not be fun to be blind, so to speak. He knew that. He had struggled with it. But evidently, he heard of Jesus. And when Jesus come passing by, blind Bartimaeus said, I'm going to get my help. Here's the man. I've heard he's healed the blinded eyes. I've heard he's raised the dead. I've heard he's healed the people. I'm going to beg him and beseech him. Listen, this morning, blind Bartimaeus did not hide, back up. He went forward. He presented his case. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want your help, and I want it now. I need deliverance. I need healing. I need blessings. I want you to do something for me. And the people tried to calm him down. Said, hold your peace. And the more they said that, the greater he cried out. I want help. Listen, this morning, you need to be like blind Bartimaeus. You need to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want your help. Bless your heart. I need your deliverance. I want blessings. I want healing. I want spiritual health. Whatever it might be this morning, you need to present your case and keep presenting it. That widow and the unjust judge, she did not quit until she got it. And you can have it this morning too. The Lord said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? It got the attention. Blind Bartimaeus would not quit. He kept on. They done everything they could do. The devil don't want you to get help this morning. There is people out there that don't want you to get help this morning. There's friends that will hinder you if they can from getting help. There's people say, oh, you don't need to live that way. You don't need to quit that or give that up. You don't need to wear this or wear that. You just need to do what you want to do. The Lord said, what will thou? Blind Bartimaeus was serious, sober. He had made up his mind. Here's my help. What we need to do is get to a desperate place enough that we're like the prodigal son. He came into his own mind, so to speak. He remembered where he come from, and he got his mind set straight, and he said, I'm going to do this. When I was, I'll go ahead and tell her what it was. It was unforgiving people. I had struggled, and it wasn't just one person I had to forgive. It was several people. And I'd struggle with it for quite a while. I would think I had it accomplished, and then I found out I didn't. And finally, I come to me after a good while. I thought, Lord, you got the key. And so I began to say, Lord, help me. I heard Sister Catherine Williams say one time, when her... Let's see, how was it? She had a brother that had married. This woman had been married and had a son. And this son wanted to use the car one morning. And this son of Sister Catherine's, our brother of Sister Catherine's, he said, well, let me use it a little bit and I'll let you use it. Somehow it made the boy mad. The brother went off, come back. The boy got up on a balcony. And when the brother got out of the car, he took a pistol and shot him in cold blood right there. Sister Catherine said she had to get the grace of forgiveness to be able to forgive that man, that boy, that young man. Listen, that's almost commonplace today. People killing. And it don't happen with the old man anymore. There's children killing one another. There's children killing their parents. How did an 18, 19-year-old boy in Oklahoma killed his mom, his dad, and I believe in his sister. And you know what he done it for? Money. Inheritance. Listen, today, I couldn't forgive 15, 20 people, whatever it was. And I struggled with it, and I struggled with it. And I said, Lord, you've got the key. Well, I thought on my birthday that I would fast and pray, which is the first day of February, and I would fast and pray till I prayed through. And I got so busy that day I couldn't do it. So the next day was Sunday, and that was the 2nd of February. And for some reason, Rebecca Ann and the girls didn't go with me, so I went by myself to Webb City that morning. Then I come back through Sepulpa Road that night. And I went on my way. I got up to the midway point on the Will Rogers Turnpike, and I got out and went in. I come back in the van, fired it up, and I got on the highway, and Jesus sat down beside me. He was ready to help me. He was ready to deliver me. He was ready to give me victory, praise God. And he said, when somebody dies, what do you do with them? I said, you put them in a coffin. He said, then what do you do? I said, you shut the lid. He said, what do you do then? I said, well, you dig a hole and you bury them. He said, what do you do then? I said, well, you put a gravestone up. You shove everything up, put a gravestone up. He said, that's what you need to do. You need to die to self on every person that has wronged you. I took the wheel in this hand, and I took the hammer in this hand. And people saw me, they thought I'd plumb crazy because I was going down and tears were streaming. I was naming each individual one out. I was putting them in the coffin and I was nailing it shut. I let's say I was doing this going down the road. I would nail it shut and then I'd bury them in the ground. I'd raise a tombstone and I'd go to the next person. And you know, when I got down to the last person and got them buried, bless God, I had the victory and I still got it, praise God. Listen today, He is able. Unforgiveness is something that ruins marriages. It busts up congregations. It'll do you damage on the job. It'll do damage in a family. It'll do damage in a lot of ways. Listen, folks, you must forgive. If you don't forgive, you won't go to heaven. And the Lord's got the power and the grace. He said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? He can help you to forgive people this morning. Some things are pretty easy to forgive. What I went through wasn't so easy. Like I said, 15 or 20 people. They had gunned me down and left me to die, to bleed to death on the street. But the Lord helped me. And now then, I can meet them, I can shake their hand, and I love them. Oh, today the Lord has got the key. Blind Bartimaeus said, I want your help, Lord. I need to see. Listen, folks. People could have handed him money all day long, and that would have been nice, but that still wasn't seeing. That wasn't seeing. That wasn't able to get out and do work. That wasn't able to see if his wife or his children or his family. He wanted what was the most necessary thing, and that was he wanted healing for his eyes. What will thou that I should do unto thee? What do you need this morning? Let's look at it. Let's think about it. Let's consider, we've been through several services here. Some of you have been in nearly every service in this meeting. It's time to do inventory. It's time to recognize. It's time to open up. It's time to think about what you need. Young people, it's time to think about what you need. You struggle with things. You're young, and there's peer pressure, and there's problems, and you're growing up. I've been there. I've done that. I got saved when I believe it was 18. I've been in those places. But today, Jesus said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? He's got the power to help you this morning. He can do it. He can deliver you. No matter what it is that you need, He is able to deliver thee. What will thou? Oh, this morning, no matter if somebody's trying to stop you, I want to beg you, don't listen to them. He said there that he cried the more a great deal. The most gracious sound is the crying of somebody to Jesus that needs help. Doesn't it affect you if somebody cries out and you know somebody's in trouble? Remember the story Brother Marty told about the man that jumped in the canal down in Florida and he lost his life? Those children needed help and he went after to help them. They're His people. What was it? He said He left the 99 and went to find the one. He wants to find the one, the two, the three this morning that needs help. He wants to help you. He's looking for you. He's calling for you. He's asking you. And He wants you to cry out. He wants you to blame, so to speak. He wants you to pour your heart out and say, I need you, Lord. I want you. We need to see our need. Are we seeing it this morning? Are we being honest? We need to be honest with God. We need to be open up. Listen, the Lord knows our needs. Now you think, well, you might think you got them here, but it's all open to the eyes of God. All naked, all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom with whom we have to do. Something like that. It's all naked before God. You and I can deceive ourselves. We can fool ourselves. We can do all kind of things. But Jesus knows every little thing in your heart. Brother Sammons one time and Sister Verna went down to pray with a young lady many, many years ago. They went down there and this young lady opened up and was telling them, and she had a need. And she had struggled with this for quite a while. And so she came down and she presented her case. And Brother Sammons said when they started praying for her and praying with her, he said he got a vision of this girl's heart. And he said in this vision, he said, back over in a kind of a corner, he said there was some dust and dirt in there. Dust in there, I believe. And he said, then he saw the blood. And he said the blood was streaming down. It flowed right through and washed all of that out. And when it was washed out, the girl had the victory. Praise God. You can think, it's hard. It's difficult. I can't do it. There's nothing impossible with God. He can take care of anything. Praise God. He can do it so easy. That's the thing. When you have a professional, when you have somebody that has years of experience, sometimes you're struggling. Look at things and think, well, I can't do this very good. But I tell you, Jesus can do anything and do it perfect. No matter what it is, He wants to help you this morning. He wants to bless you. He wants to set you on fire. He wants to do what you need Him to do. All right, let's back up in this chapter to the 17th verse of the 10th chapter of Mark. Talk about the rich young ruler for a few moments. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus observing, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. The rich young ruler. Now, he was a good man. I could be wrong, but this young man was a lot better than a lot of people today. Amen. He was better than a bunch of them, a whole lot of them. And he kept the commandments. He didn't do this. He's doing pretty good. And Jesus, looking, beholding, studying, knew what his one problem was. One thing thou lackest. He's asking you, what do you lack this morning? What do you lack? If you're fixing to bake a cake, sisters, and you lack the main ingredient, can you bake that cake? I don't know, I'm not really a baker, but I'd say you'd have problems, Sister Tammy. I'd say you'd have a problem baking that cake if you had the main ingredient, and it wasn't there, you'd have to go buy it. You'd have to go get it, whatever. One thing thou lackest. What are you lacking this morning? One thing. Jesus looked it over and told him exactly. Now then, listen today. Some people say, well, he was picking on him, so to speak. No, he was describing, he was pinpointing the very thing that would hinder this young man. That was the point. It wasn't that he didn't like money. Jesus needs the people to give the money and so forth to help the church to move on and to help the poor and so forth. But the bottom line was, this man's hang-up. And so consequently, he got to the root of the trouble. He named it out. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and take up your cross and follow me. That'll take care of the problem right there. If you want to be my disciple, do that. One thing thou lackest. Oh, this morning, what do we lack? What is it that we lack this morning? All right, let's go to the Luke, the 15th chapter. Let's talk about the prodigal son a little bit. 15th chapter, Luke, and the 11th verse of Luke. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followeth me, and he divided unto him his living, and not many days after the younger man gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. I'll go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring forth hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. I'm not going to read the rest of it because my main point is in these upper scriptures. There is a multitude of people that has done exactly what this is talking about. Thousands, millions. Down through the years, they've decided it's time to go out and do my own thing. And they do it. And after a while then, they get to be in want. They ruin their lives. And this is talking about money here, but the bottom line is, folks, if you ruin your health, if you ruin your eyesight, if you ruin your reputation, and you nearly destroy yourself, what good is it to go out and do your own thing when it's not helping you any? This young man was ruined. He ran out of money. He got in the pig pen, so to speak. He was wanting to feed. He was wanting to eat anything he could eat because he had lost his money and riotous living. His friends helped him spend it. They helped him go through it real quickly, and he found himself in need. When he spent all. Listen, there's a lot of people, a lot of young people have spent all. Spent themselves, wiped themselves out. Get up in their 30s maybe and find themselves not really worth much physically anymore. Listen, folks, Jesus needs you sound and sober, serious, well. He needs to be able to take you and you have something left in you to give to God. Not a shell, not an empty out. Now, He'll save anybody. Don't get me wrong. But He wants you to be able to do something for Him. So today, don't go out and waste yourselves in riotous living. Don't go out and spend what you've got. And I'm not talking about money here totally. I'm talking about your mind, your heart, your soul, and going out there and giving it all away to the devil, so to speak. Multitudes have done that. And then they got down the way and they decided that it wasn't worth it. It wasn't doing them any good. And when he came to himself. When he came to himself. It's time for some people to come to themselves. It's time to wake up. It's time to look the situation over. Listen, if we don't have the victory, we need to admit it. If we don't have salvation, we need to admit it. If we don't have sanctification, it's time to admit it. I don't have it. I need it. Listen, this young man was willing to do whatever it would take just to survive. Jesus has got a better spread than that. He wants to bless you more than what you could even ask or think. Listen, my daddy used to, I always thought daddy was pretty well off. I guess he was to an extent. But I knew who would buy the ice cream cones. I knew who would give the candy bars on vacation and so forth. I didn't go out to a rank stranger. I went to Papa. Daddy, I like an ice cream cone. You give me one, usually. Not every time, maybe. But you know how you children are. You know, fathers, how you do your boys and your girls. I used to do that with my daughter. The bottom line is you want to help them. Listen, Jesus wants to help you this morning. He said, one thing thou lackest. One thing, if it's just one thing that's going to cause you to be lost, don't take that to hell with you. Get help. What are your needs this morning? This young man was down as low as you could go. He was at the bottom of the barrel. He was wiped out financially. He would even eat the... He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And he couldn't even get that. He was as low as he could go. Brother L.D. Chrisman, a number of years ago, had a vision. He had a farm, a ranch, whatever you want to call it, south of Nowata, Oklahoma. I can't think of the name of the town right now. But he said one day he was out praying near the pig pen. And he got to looking. He looked at them pigs. They were walling in the muck in the mire, and he was eating over here and drinking over there and doing this and doing that. And he got to looking at them. And he said, the Lord give him a vision. And he said in that vision, he saw those pigs. And then he saw them slaughtered. Then he saw them all cleaned up. Then he saw the meat hanging in the cooler. And then everything to do with it, he said he saw the beauty of the whole thing. He said then he began to see people that's down in the pig pen, so to speak, and the Lord comes along and delivers them and brings them up and brings them out and sets their feet on a solid rock and beautifies their life with salvation. And he said it was such a glorious picture he was seeing of the beauty of what God can do for an individual. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I want to bless you. I want to help you no matter what your need. So, this young man came to himself, started thinking, started considering. Don't just be a churchgoer, be a saint. Be what the Lord would have you to be. And like I said, there is times, I was talking to another evangelist a while back, and we don't have the sinners in our meetings like we used to when I first got saved and after several years. He said, no, we don't, Brother Carl. But he said, there's a lot of times you and I have no idea what's in the lives of people either. I was preaching a meeting one time at Eden, Oklahoma. And I'd preaching, and I had no idea what I'd done. I'd never been there a whole lot. And later, the minister there told me, said the Lord knew what he was doing. Because there was somebody there who needed exactly what you was preaching. You were nailing it down. They didn't get help in that meeting, but they got it later. But the bottom line is, brethren, we don't know what is in the hearts of the people, but the Lord does. And this young man, listen, Jesus knows it, you know it, and you need to come to yourself and consider it, weigh it, think about it. What is going to be the repercussion? What is going to be the seriousness of this thing if I continue to go on? How much further will I go? How serious will it get? How much trouble will it cause? A lot of times we don't want to think about that. The devil hides that from our eyes. But the bottom line is, listen folks, sin is destructive in every form. And it will do you a lot of damage. Some people get to gambling. They go out and they put a little money in and ain't no big deal. Well, listen folks, gambling is destroying America. We have got, I think it's 115 casinos in the state of Oklahoma now. We had one about 700 foot from the chapel. We had another just across the street from that, just barely down from that. I went by one on my way home. Rebecca, when she was doing tax work, she would pass by one going to Choctaw over there and pass by it. Well, they're all over the place. And people go in there and they think, well, I can gamble a few dollars. I'm only going to start with $20. But there's an addiction to that thing, folks, that is ruining. One businessman told me that a lawyer in the town of Shawnee told him, he said, if you could see the damage that thing is doing, you'd be shocked. The hungry mouths, the addiction, they can't hardly walk away from them machines. They get so addicted, they get to a place where they think they're going to win, and when they're doing whatever they're doing, they're pulling them deals and dumping them quarters and nickels and whatever. I don't know that much about it. I've never been in one. But the bottom line is, they flat stand there and stand there and stand there. They won't leave till they've spent everything they've got, just like the rich young ruler, or the prodigal son. He spent all in riotous living, and it ruined him. And it ruins hundreds and thousands of people across this country. And he came to himself. Please come to yourself. Please look at it. Think about it. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I'm a good moral person. Let me tell you what happened to a good man. Rebecca had an uncle. His name was Uncle Andrew. He lived right down the road from the Myrtle Chapel. His wife, and I think she was the only sister in the family. I think it was all boys, but it was Dad Saul's sister is who it was. She was a saint. She was a jewel. What I hear, I just hear all good about her. And Uncle Andrew was a good man. He was a good moral man. He lived well. He took care of his family. He raised a son. His name was... his name was Leo Hall. Leo Hall. And I loved Leo. And we had a great relationship. I didn't know Uncle Andrew, and I didn't know Aunt Liddy, but I did know Leo. But Becky told me that Uncle Andrew, Aunt Liddy would try to get him to go to meeting, and they said he would point to the chapel. He'd go, I'm just as good as any person in that building. And he lived his life that way. He wasn't a bad drunkard. He wasn't a bad smoker. He wasn't a bad drug addict. He didn't go to the gambling hall. As far as I know, he didn't do any of that. But the bottom line was, when he got ready to die, when he stepped out into eternity, he committed the greatest sin that you can commit. You know what that is? The sin of rejection. He had rejected Jesus. He had rejected His blood. And when you get there, there's no hope. Uncle Andrew committed the worst sin basically you can commit right at the time of death. He rejected Jesus Christ, the one that lived and died and gave all for you to be saved. And when you reject that, there's no hope left. So Uncle Andrew went out into eternity. As far as I know, he wasn't saved. This young man come to himself, and he wanted help. He said, I will rise and I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now really, I don't know, but if you look at this, really this young man wasn't such a bad young man. But he was lost. He was in trouble. There is people among the saints, children, grandchildren, that are not bad young people, but the bottom line was, you're in sin. You have sinned. You need to admit, I'm sin. I'm lost. I'm undone. You need the blood. You need the help. You need the power. You need the deliverance. You need it. Listen, there's many of us that were pretty good young people and got saved. I didn't get saved out of a lot of things, but I got saved from a whole bunch of things. Because if I would have gone on, there's no telling what I would have gotten into later. The Lord delivered me, and I think today, I've looked back, I think, thank you, Lord, I didn't get into this and this and this and this and this. Because the area that I wanted to be was a rich man. I'd set my scope and my mind was to go for the riches, and that can get a man into a mess pretty fast. The Lord. This man, he said, I will arise and I will go. We need to admit we're a sinner. We need to admit we're lost. We need to admit that you are You may be a good moral person, like Uncle Andrew said, he was a good moral person. I'm better than those people down there. But if you've never been saved, you're still in sin, and that's where the problem is. No more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and he came to his father. I admire this right here. What he said and what he thought above he did when he got there. He didn't pull no punches. He said, Father, I am bad, so to speak. I am lost. I am away. And he said there, his father. Now the Lord sat back looking at you. He's waiting you to come back. He's waiting to reach out and to take you into His embrace. His father had mourned. He had grieved. He had hurt for that boy that had gone away. He didn't know where he was, evidently. He didn't know what had happened to him. And I can about think the grief and the pain that man suffered for quite a while till Junior showed back up on the scene. He looked him over. He was yet a great way off. His father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his father said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He got down as low as you need to go. Listen, folks, no matter what we have or hadn't done, the bottom line back is as low as we can go. That gets the Lord's attention. When you and I say and humble all the way to the bottom and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm not what I need to be. I'm a sinner, whatever it might be. And you get down there and say, Lord, have mercy. I want to be saved. I want to be helped. I want to be blessed. I want to be delivered. Whatever it might be, reach out for that. All right, let's go to Acts, the 12th chapter. Acts 12. And here's the deal about Peter being put in the jail. I'm not going to read all this. But they decide to take him. They kill James, the brother of John with the sword, in the second verse. And it pleased the Jews, so to speak. So Herod decided he's going to take Peter also. And so he apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers of the door kept the prison. Pretty secure. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. He raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He said to him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He went out and he followed him, and wist not that it was true that which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now then, Peter was in prison. There's a prison house of sin. There is prisons, if you want to individualize them, of lust and different things out there that people want to get out. And they can't do it. Listen, folks, doctors can do some things. Lawyers can do some things. Psychiatrists, I guess, can do some things. Psychologists can do some things. Jesus can do all things. No matter where you're at, what condition you're in, no matter if you've struggled with it for years, and you think there's no hope, maybe you think it's part of my gene. Maybe it's passed down through the line of the family and I just can't get victory over it. Jesus is able to deliver thee. is able to get you out of here. If you look at this, the man put him in. He had him locked down pretty good. He had the men by the doors. He had the chains on his hand. Had the soldiers everywhere. You would think there's no way Peter can get out of there until the angel showed up. The angel walked in, got him right out, took him on his way. Peter couldn't even hardly fathom what was happening. Listen, folks, today Jesus can deliver you so quick and so easy. He can bless you. Listen, He told them one time, He said, let your net down on the other side. They had struggled and struggled and struggled. He said, let your net down on the other side. Listen, folks, don't give up. Look, pray, seek. Jesus has the answer. He has the deliverance. He has the freedom. Listen, He can get you out of any type of prison cell that you're in and any way and deliver you totally. Praise God. That's what He wants to do. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee, blind Bartimaeus? Listen, how deep are you in the prison? Oh, Brother Carl, you just don't know. I don't, maybe, but Jesus does. And He wants to help you this morning. No matter how chained, how locked, no matter how many soldiers are around, so to speak, how many devils has got spirits everywhere, even if you think you're devil-possessed, the Lord's able to deliver you, praise God. He's able to bless you. He's able to lift you. He's able to heal you. He wants to do you good this morning. Oh, He got Peter out. He wants to get you out this morning. He wants to bring you forth. A new person. What was it when he got Lazarus? He said, what? Loose him and let him go. Praise God. Take that stuff off of him. Turn him loose. Let him go. Let him do what he needs to do. Praise God. Make him free. Praise God. There ain't no more chains. There ain't no more binding. He's free. He's alive. He's delivered. He's blessed. He's healed. The Lord wants to bless you this morning. He wants to do what nobody else can do. And you know why? He wants to do it so He can get the glory. Now, if I could have forgiven all those people by myself, I wouldn't have been able to do or preach what I preach now. But for the fact that I could not do it, and Jesus did it, I can lift Him up and glorify Him in a way it wouldn't be possible any other way. This morning, the Lord wants to deliver. Listen, can you imagine? You read on here in the story of what happened. Everybody was amazed. God had done it. The Herod and all the people around, they didn't know what was going on if I got the right place in mind. They didn't know what had happened. And Peter was having the time of his life. The church, the Lord had answered prayer and delivered him, and the glory was rolling. And praise God. Oh, this morning, He wants to get you out of prison. How deep are you in there? How many of you has ever been to a jail? How many of you has ever been to a prison? I've been there. What were other madmen? Some of them in the Big Mac. The federal prison down there at McAllister, not too far from Shawnee, southeast of there, a few miles. Well, quite a few, not just right next door, but it's over there. And well, let me tell you what it was like. I hadn't even thought about talking about this. But I went in there, and I was... Well, I got married when I was 30. It wasn't too long after I was married. So I was 30 to 33 years old. Pretty young. And I walked in there. And this is what I expected to find. In my mind, I expected to find a bunch of old, hardened criminals. Old men. In their 50s and in their 60s. And old men that had committed crimes and sins, so to speak, for years and were put away and would never get out. That's what I expected to see. You know what I saw? Just the opposite. I saw men in there, most of them younger than me. It broke my heart. I looked at it. I thought, my, have mercy, Lord. Most of the people that come in that chapel, best I remember now, that's been 30 years ago or better. Most of the people that come in that chapel there was young men that had committed crimes and was in there. I was saying be the old gray head that was in there. And there was some of them there too. I'm not saying there wasn't. But the bottom line, listen folks today, a lot of the people that's getting in trouble is not 60-year-old men. It's on down the line, bless your heart. And you're there. It don't take long to get your own self into prison. It doesn't take long to get the almost the death sentence. And the devil wants to put you in there and sit there and say, ha ha, you can't get out. I've got you where I want you. He wants to make everything look so impossible and so dark and so dreary and so blue. You can never have it. I want to be saved. He said, you'll never get it. You're in this prison house, and this prison house has got the chains and the bars, and I've got it locked, and you'll never get out of here. Listen, Jesus has been delivering. He's been setting free people for many, many years. He's an expert at it, and He can get you out. Praise God. He can deliver you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you this morning. He came to Himself. Now, Peter wasn't too worried about it. He was asleep. But he was still in prison. He was still in trouble. This morning, we need to consider. We need to come to ourselves. We need to think about it. Where am I at? What am I doing? Listen, folks, if you need help, don't keep going on to the next Sunday and the next week and the next meeting and the next camp meeting. Don't wait for the next revival. You may not make it there. The end could come. Your death could be today. You may never get home. The end could be right there. I worked with a young man one time many years ago. He was a fine young man. His daddy was fairly well off, but Junior was working at a service station with some of us, and he was going with a beautiful young lady. I don't remember her name. And they were going together, and she went out one day and joined up with four other young ladies, and they went for a ride. She had wrote him a letter just before she left. Or I don't know if it just before she left, but he hadn't gotten it. Let me put it that way. And he told me this, best I remember, in tears. He said, Carl, she wrote the letter, and before I got it, she was killed. All four of those young ladies were killed at one time in a car wreck. And he received the letter, and it like to destroy him. When I say destroy, it hurt him so deeply. Here she said, I love you, and I don't know what all she said, but can you imagine receiving a letter from the girl that loves you, that, and possibly he would have gone on and married her, I don't know for a fact, but the bottom line was she was gone. How many times have people left meeting and never got back home? How many times the one man years and years ago come to revival meeting, I believe it was, Brother H.M. Riggle was holding it, and he was sitting in the back, and he was shaking under conviction, and God was dealing with him. And he said there, he said, they even mentioned to him, you know, you want to come forth? He said, I'll come tomorrow. I have to go to work tonight. So he went. And they closed out the service that night, and Brother Riggle turned, went out the chapel, went to the right, went by the rail yard, and he saw a commotion, and he went in, and that young man was laying on the ground. Both legs were cut off by a train car. And the blood was gushing out. He was dying, unsaved. Brother Riggle took the young man's head in his lap and held him while he died. Prayed for him, no doubt. Oh, tonight, or today, we think we've got the world by the tail. We think we've got plenty of time. We think we can do anything we want to do. But listen, that may not be God's plan, and you and I need to be ready to go. All right, let's go to Revelation. Let's finish up. Revelation 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm doing good, I'm increased with goods, I'm doing good, and I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he to me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is a serious charge. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. What does it matter? What does it matter if you're cold or you're hot? But because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth, out of my mouth. Why does he term it that way? What difference does it make? If you're cold, you know where you're at. If you're hot, you know where you're at. If you're lukewarm, you most generally don't really know where you're at. You're just going through the form. You're going through the form. You're going through the testimony. You just kind of going along. You don't really have the real powerful victory. You're just kind of sliding along with everybody else. Jesus has got better than that, folks. He wants you to have the victory. He wants you to have the power. He wants you to have the glory. He wants you to have salvation. He wants you to have sanctification. He wants you to have victory over any need that you may have. He wants you to be on fire for Him, praise God. Either that. Because a lukewarm person, they feel like they're all right where they are. A cold person sees they need help, and a hot person says, I'm on fire for God, and they're seeking God and desiring God and wanting God, and they're moving on. And the cold person goes, well, I need help. I know I do. But a lukewarm person, they don't see that they need anything. They're just real content where they're at. But to me, in this scriptures right here, Jesus cuts right through the whole situation. Bam! He hits it right there and he puts the nail, the hammer right on the head of the nail. In other words, if you're cold, that's fine. If you're hot, that's fine. But if you're lukewarm, you're not fine. He said then, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. See, people get deceived and think they're doing fine when they're not fine. Increased with good and have need of nothing. See, they don't need anything. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus all the time. I need His blessings constantly. I need victory all the time. I need His help. I need His grace. I need His power. I need Jesus. But a person in a lukewarm condition don't view it that way quite. So he says here, I'm doing fine. I have need of nothing. And knowest not. In other words, in a sense, they're well flat out, they're deceived. That thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That is a pretty bad state to be in. But they won't admit it. I'm fine. I'm rich. I'm saved. I've got a testimony. Well, I might not say I'm saved. I've got a testimony. But he said, I counsel me to buy something of value, some gold. Get an experience. Get a true and tried experience in the fire. One that will carry you through, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And that thou, let's see, be clothed. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do something about it. Don't keep going like you're going. It's time to do something about it. I want you to get help, child. That's what he's saying. I want you to get victory. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have power. I want to make you rich in the things of God. And then he said to him that overcometh, will I grant the sent with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Oh, Lord, help us. Where are we at today? What is our needs today? Examine, look, think, consider, weigh. And I'm not going to turn that, but in Luke, the 9th chapter, it said there that the people started coming to Jesus there and they had need of healing, and He healed them. If you have a need of healing, don't quit approaching. Somebody says, well, I can only be anointed and prayed for one time. No, you can be prayed for, anointed and prayed for hundreds of times. Sister Faith Stewart down there was very sick one time, and she just kept on till the Lord healed her. And 30-something times, I believe, she was anointed and prayed for. And then she got the healing. Well, don't quit. Keep coming. If you have need of healing, put in for it. You say, well, they're going to look at me. Don't worry about what people think. Come on anyway. All right, the 40th chapter of Psalms, in closing, 17th verse. He said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. Oh, let us look at ourselves like that. I am poor and needy. I need You, Lord. I came to myself. I'm thinking what I need. And He said here, the Lord thinketh upon me. The Lord's thinking. He's looking. He's considering. He's weighing. And He's waiting. He wants you to come. He wants you to be blessed this morning. Let's stand, have a number. It's time to pray. It's time to take our needs and get some action and go and get the help that we need. I appreciate being here. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayer this morning. Pray for me.